It's time for me. Brad, thanks, man. Thanks, man. So good to see you guys again. So good to be with you guys again. Ah, here we go. Let's go. Oh, man. Okay. Hey, guys. Open to First Chronicles. Sherry. Man, you guys are... Sherry, come on up here, Sherry. Sherry, come here. Sherry, come here, Sherry. Come on. Over here, Sherry, come over here. Over here, Sherry. Here's Sherry. Hi, Sherry. Sherry, how do you feel about me right now?
I feel like you might not sleep in the bed tonight. I'm just kidding.
She's just kidding! Sherry, I just wanted to...
Oh, no!
Sherry?
Yes.
Sherry, will you sing us a song?
No.
I'm just kidding. No. Okay. I'm kidding. Okay. I really am going to be like, nah. Okay. I love you. I'll see you later. There. All right. There. Are you satisfied? All right. Okay. Sherry, thank you so much. They just wanted to see you one more time. So, all right. First Chronicles chapter 10. Let's get serious. And one last time. So I want to make sure I can leave you guys with something that really has affected me in my life. I'm serious, you guys. Big time in my life. And so we're going to look at 1 Chronicles chapter 10. We're going to end up in Romans chapter 6. So if you're going, I want to just go to one place, go to Romans 6. I wanted to read to you from 1 Chronicles because you're going, hey, how come we're not going to 1 Samuel? That's where it talks about Saul. It actually talks about Saul in 1 Chronicles as well. It's another rewriting of the history, or just kind of gives you some other details about the Israel's history in Chronicles that it gave earlier. And so, and chapter 10 is where Saul dies. He goes to that battle. It basically kind of what it shows in the video. He goes to a medium. He goes to a witch and wanting to get answers about what he should do. And he's wanting to conjure up, you know, Samuel. And he's told that he's going to die. And he goes to the battle and he gets mortally wounded. And then he falls on his own sword and he's dead. That's the end. And it says in verse 13 of chapter 10, God's point of view, which is really the only point of view. Saul died because he was unfaithful to the Lord. Why did he die? Because he didn't trust God. That's why. I think he's a sad testimony of how sin gives you death. He did not keep the word of the Lord because he didn't trust him. This is just explaining like how it came out, but he died because he was not trusting God. He did not keep the word of the Lord and even consulted a medium for guidance. In other words, it looks like it says and even consulted a medium for guidance. It's like this last thing. God is just so incredibly patient, so much wants people to turn to him. I have this feeling because of how it says it there that it goes, wow, even in this last thing, it's almost like, Saul, would you just turn to God for guidance instead of going to a witch? Like, why don't you, like, and even going to the witch, he didn't want the witch to conjure up God. He wanted the witch to conjure up another person. I mean, it's like, what are you doing? And it says, man, he didn't even do that, and that was the last straw. And he didn't inquire of the Lord, he's inquiring of something else. So the Lord put him to death and turned the kingdom over to David, son of Jesse. Sad. I see in the video, it's kind of interesting, the video, and this is not necessarily this happened, but you kind of, the video is trying to show, like, you know, Saul's about to die, and then he kind of does a, kind of thoughts over his life, right? Almost like how it could have been. What if he just would have done this? And you see these certain points in his life that I thought was kind of interesting, that maybe we do the same thing. We look at our past and we go, oh, here was this big kind of crossroads in our life, and we chose right when we probably should have chose left. And maybe sometimes you even go back and you go, man, what if I just would have chose to trust God at that time instead of not trust God? And maybe I wouldn't be struggling with this today. You know what I mean? Like, whoa, man, if I just could have done that. And you see Saul kind of doing that. And I thought, man, that is me at times. I wish I could go back and change some things that I made a decision to do that wasn't trusting God, that affected me and still affects me for my entire life. I mean, it just does. And maybe you think the same thing, and we can't change that. But one thing that we can do when we go off of this mountain is we can change the trajectory that we're going from this point on. You know what I'm saying? Like, the past is the past. And we confess those sins, like we talked about last night, and God forgives us of that. And then, so what do we do now? Like, when you're going back home, how is something going to be maybe different? So the next crossroads you get to, what if you could actually take a moment and take a breath and just go, okay, what if I could choose, not choose sin in the future, but choose something else instead? You know, do you want to know how to do that? Does anybody want to know how to do that? I mean, I want to give you something that changed my life. And guys, it is a secret foundational thing that is, and you're going to take some time, honestly, to just, I think, understand it and believe it and make it part of your life. But I'm going to give you something that you can begin to put in practice that I think will change the way you live. And honestly, it will probably, if you really take it to heart, it will begin making your life outwardly who you are inwardly. Remember, your identity is totally different. You're not a slave of sin. You're not meant to continue to sin. That's not what you're meant to do. You're a slave of righteousness. You're a slave of God. You're a child of the Father. You're a light in this world. Those are all the things you are, but some of us are going, man, my life doesn't really show that. How can I do, what could I do to make what I say and do and how I think and how I live match up more with who I really am now? And that's what I want to talk to you about. If you got a piece of paper, and I hope you do, and if you don't, I hope you get somebody who does this and get a copy of it from them afterwards. I hope you do this. But if you got paper, do this. You got somebody next to you that wants to write something, you got an extra pen, and then you can give some paper to them too, great. But here you go. You probably need two sheets, or a front and a back. And what you're going to do on the first sheet is I want you to draw a circle, and don't draw yet because I'm going to tell you, draw a circle big enough that it's not just really small, but big enough so you can kind of go, so you have room to write four different things around this circle, but small enough so you can actually still have room to write these things. But just draw a circle, kind of like a clock, face of a clock. And I'm going to go through, guys, what I thought the Christian life was going to be all about for the rest of my life. And on the very top of that circle, would you just write, I face sin? When I say I face sin, I mean I have an opportunity to sin. I don't like the word opportunity, but you know what I mean, right? There's sin still in the world, right? Do we have chances to sin all the time? And how we say, what we do, what we think, all the time. It's just things that just happen. So at the top of the circle, write down, I face sin. In other words, there's a chance that I can sin here right now. Then at 3 o'clock, write down, I end up sinning. 12 o'clock, I face sin. 3 o'clock, I end up sinning. Then at 6 o'clock, write down, I confess that sin. And we know what confession means now, right? I confess, which means what? I agree with God, and maybe you kind of go through it, that you look at that sin eventually and you say, hold it, that is sin. It's a really big deal. It brings death, and it's all my fault. You don't just say those things, you actually mean it. I really do mean that. I've really changed my mind about this. This really is sin. This is killing me. This is not good. It's destroying my healthy relationship with God, and it's all my fault. So you confess that sin. Then at 9 o'clock, thank you. At 9 o'clock, trying to tell time. 9 o'clock, write down, I'm forgiven. And what I mean with all of that is my relationship gets back on track with God the way it's meant to be, because God is such a gracious and forgiving God that if we truly confess, he truly says we are back on track. I think sometimes we go, hey, what about that sin? And God is the one going, what are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, he really knows how to forgive, which is also the art of forgetting. We probably hold on to our sin way more than God does. You know what I'm saying? So it's incredible. But if you go back up and you finish that cycle, what happens at 12 o'clock again? I face sin. Now let me just kind of go through it. This is what my Christian life was. And maybe you guys are going, PJ, you are telling my story. I face sin. I eventually sin. I confess that sin. I'm forgiven. I face sin. I end up sinning. I confess that sin. I'm forgiven. I face sin. I end up sinning. I confess that sin. I'm forgiven. Are you seeing the pattern? Can anybody relate? Are you sick of it yet? It's amazing. It really is. I mean, it's a good thing that we confess our sin and we're forgiven. And it's true that is so true. But I thought for a long time in my life, like, hey, that's just the way it is. Sin is in the world. I'm susceptible to it. I'm just going to sin. And it might take a little while. Like, I face sin, and maybe it's a little while. Maybe it's like 1 second. Maybe it's a little while. I fight it for a while, but I end up sinning. And then maybe even that time between when I sin and I confess that sin, that might be a while. And let's be honest. Sometimes I confess it right away. Sometimes I don't because I enjoy the sin. And I'm stupid. I'm insane. But eventually it just eats me up so much that I confess that sin. Because my identity is just so much going against what this is, and I know it. And I end up confessing. Now the one part that goes immediate is when I confess, immediately he forgives. He doesn't go, let me think about it, I'll get back to you tomorrow. Immediately he forgives. And then eventually I face sin again, right? Slow, fast, whatever it is, I go through this cycle. I thought that's what I would go through over and over again until I die. And then finally when I die, I'll be separated from sin and I'll finally have victory in heaven. And I don't know if any of you guys think, like, isn't that basically it? What's amazing, you guys, is I found out that there is an entirely different cycle that me and you can actually get on. That's not that. Because even though it's really good that when I confess sin and I'm forgiven and I can always get back into that relationship with God the way it's meant to be, there's something that kind of gets really old about this. And it's not growing. You know, it doesn't feel like I'm getting any more closer to God, or my life really isn't showing who I really am any more than it did a year ago. It just keeps going. And there's a reason for that. It's because that's not plan A. And for some of us, that's the only plan, and it's plan A. And maybe even write this on the top of it. I call this the forgiveness cycle. So just write down the forgiveness cycle. And I keep going through this forgiveness cycle. And even though it shows that God is a very gracious and forgiving God and very merciful, because it doesn't matter how many times I go through that cycle, he's always going to forgive if I'm truly confessing. Again, maybe some of us aren't truly confessing. But if I truly am, it works every time. But is it really the best way? And I will tell you guys, it's not. There is something else, and it's in Romans chapter 6. If you want to turn there. I finally read this one day, and man, it just changed everything to me. We went over Romans chapter 6 a couple days ago when we talked about our identity. Remember, it talks about how we also died and was buried and rose again with Jesus. Remember that? And now we have a new person. We've been born again. We actually, remember, we were slaves of sin. We died. We were buried. We've risen up. And now we have a new master. And it goes through all of that. And it's really trying to say, why are you continuing to sin? In chapter 5, it actually says, why are you continuing to be on the forgiveness cycle? Basically, that's what it's saying in chapter 5. And to the beginning of chapter 6. It's saying, man, we sin, and you know God's grace will always be more than how we can sin. But then at the very beginning of chapter 6, he says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? Should we just go on sinning to show how forgiving God is? Is that what we should do? And what does he say in verse 2? By no means, or whatever other translation you got, it basically says, are you kidding me? Why would you do that? There's a different cycle to be on. There's a different pattern. So if you've got the other sheet of paper or you want to turn it over, draw another circle. It starts off the exact same way. So at 12 o'clock, I face sin. Because sin doesn't go away. At least not yet. God has a plan in the future to deal with sin. But remember, this whole thing in chapter 6 says, did he kill sin? No. Who did he kill? Us. Put us to death. Raise us up as new people. Sin is still right there. So we face sin. And in Romans chapter 6, he starts talking about like, hey, why would you continue to sin? Don't you know? Remember, he starts saying, don't you know that you died? Don't you know that you're a different person? Don't you know you're not a slave to sin anymore? So at 3 o'clock, write down, I remember what I am. I face sin. I remember what I am. Maybe you can even remember what you're not. I'm not a slave of sin anymore. I don't have to be on that cycle. There is some way that maybe God has given me to make me so I don't have to give in to this sin. I hold it. I'm a child of God. And this sin doesn't match up with what I am. Just go through that. Just go, I know that this way of living or saying or speaking or talking or what I'm tempted to do or what I'm tempted to say or what how I'm tempted to think right now or how I'm tempted to live, I know it doesn't match up with what I am. Just do that. Remember what you are. You're a child of God. You're not a child of sin. You're a slave of righteousness. You're not a slave of sin. That's what you are. And at 6 o'clock, before you write anything, let's read a little bit of Romans 6. In verse 11, he gets done saying, hey, do you remember what's happened to you? You've died. You're now a new person. You're a completely new creation. It says in the same way in verse 11, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Now you're alive to God. You're dead to sin. You're remembering all of that. I'm dead to you, sin. I'm not alive to you. I'm alive to God. And then he says in verse 12, therefore, since it's true, since you have a new identity, therefore, don't let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. It says, so don't let sin reign in your body. Don't obey its desires. So this is what I thought, and I want you to leave some room on 6 o'clock. I'm going to give you half of it right now, okay? Which is this. I decide not to offer myself to sin. Put a comma, don't put a period. I decide not to offer myself to sin. The reason why I'm stopping right there is because I had that part down. And this is what was so frustrating to me, and maybe you're gonna go, I don't know if this is really gonna help me because I've tried this already, PJ. I've tried to say no to sin. Have you ever tried to say no to sin? And then you ended up sinning. Man, it stinks. And this is what happened to me, you guys. I actually read all the way up until that point, and I went, hold it. I'm not a slave of sin anymore. I'm a slave of God. Hold it. I died to sin. I've been buried. I'm a new person. That person is dead. That slave to sin is dead. I don't have the hook in my mouth. And so this is what I thought, you guys. I thought, wow, God, thank you so much for making me different. Thank you so much for making me your child and a slave to you and a slave to righteousness. I understand who I am now. I don't have to keep on failing and keep on sinning. So watch this. Like I was just telling God, so watch this, man. I'm going to make you proud of me. And sin would come up, the opportunity to sin would come up, and I go, I'm not going to sin. You're not going to fool me anymore. No, I am not going to do it. Man, I'm going to make you proud. And sin is like laughing because I'm trying not to sin. You guys, what I was forgetting that entire time is that God changed me, but he didn't change sin yet. How powerful is sin? Sin is the second most powerful thing in the universe. God did not make me more powerful than sin. God did not make you more powerful than sin. I'm still not able to handle sin. That was the first thing that I didn't get, and the first thing that made it so frustrating, because I would try to tackle sin for God, and I would fall. Because I wasn't strong enough. And I would continue to just keep falling into sin and confessing my sin. And God would forgive me. And I would say, I'm going to try harder next time. I know somebody can relate to me. And I'm going to try even harder next time. And God's sitting there. I think God is standing there going, what are you doing? I'm trying really hard. He goes, that's really the problem. Stop trying. What? Stop trying so hard. You're never going to be more powerful than sin. There's only one being more powerful than sin. Who is it? God. And I'm leaving him out of the picture. The second thing that I totally forgot is that I'm not ever going to be an independent person. Guys, independence is a lie. It was the very first lie that Satan gave Adam in the Garden of Eden. You can be independent. That's why it was the greatest lie ever, because he tempted Adam to do something he could never do. It was foolproof, going to fail. It's like if Satan told us, you can fly, trust me. Get on top of that building and jump off. Trust me, you can fly. And we believe it. We're not wired to fly. That's just not how we're made. The same thing, it's just as crazy when Satan said to Adam, you can be independent. You can be your own God. You can be independent. Trust me. And Adam said, okay. But Adam never became independent, not even for a second. When Adam sinned, he just traded his dependence. Because none of us are wired to be independent. We can't be. He went from being dependent on God to being dependent on what, you guys? Sin. And here I am, I've been set free from sin, thinking that now God has made me independent. And God never made me independent. He just made it possible for me to go back to being dependent upon the first person I was supposed to be dependent upon all the time. He made it possible for me to break my dependence on sin in order to be dependent on who? God. And I'm trying so hard to work for God. I'm trying so hard to do good things for him. And God's going, that's not how I wired you to be. I wired you to continue to rely on me, to have faith in me. Not just trust me for salvation, but trust me every single day, every single moment, every single thing you face, that you would not think that you're more powerful than sin, but you would rely on the only one who is more powerful than sin. That I need to be dependent in that moment. And the reason I sin is because I'm trying to be independent, and anytime I try to be independent, it will not last for long because I'm not wired that way. And unless I'm dependent upon God, I will become dependent on the only other master that's around, which is who? Sin. It just will happen. So as much as I want to stop offering myself to sin, I have to offer myself to someone. I have to. And it hit me, you guys, in those times that I keep trying to fight sin, I'm trying to fight sin. Instead of actually going, wait, I'm not going to offer myself to you, I'm going to offer myself to someone else instead. Look what it says. See, I kept reading one time. It's like, hey, don't offer yourself to sin, to obey it. And then in verse 13, look what it says. This is the secret. If you want to underline it, whatever, this is it. It says, do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather, man, underline or circle that. Do something else instead. It's not just saying no to sin. It's doing something instead of saying no to sin. But rather, offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness in that moment. Changes everything. It's not just trying your hardest and mustering up enough power and willpower to say no to sin. You'll never have enough. All you got to do is read chapter 7, and that's Paul talking about us trying to handle sin in our own flesh. It'll never work no matter how much you want to stop. But we do something instead. So it's not just saying no to sin, it's saying yes to God in that moment. So if you want to finish that at 6 o'clock, it says, I decide not to offer myself to sin, comma, but I decide to offer myself to God instead. But I offer myself to God instead. It's in those moments, you guys, that you have a temptation to think, say, do, or live a certain way. That's not who you are, and you look at it and you go, oh, this doesn't match up with who I am. Whoa, there's something bad here. This is sin, and this doesn't match my life, who I am. And in that moment, to say, I'm going to say no to you, no to sin, but I'm not just going to say no to sin. God, I need you right now, and I'm consciously, honestly, maybe even praying out loud, God, I need you right here. And praying through it. I think a lot of times we pray about sins in our life, struggles that we have. We do. We get together with other people and we pray about, hey, the next time I face this, would you just pray that I would be able to face it well and stuff at the time? You guys, it's more than that. It's praying while you're going through it, not just before or after. It's praying in that moment. It's offering yourself to God and say, I'm going to give myself to you, God. I'm telling you, man, when I pray through that moment, it's crazy. I pray through that moment and I am actually going, wait a second, I just rely on you and on your spirit, your Holy Spirit, who has enough power in me, can take care of this sin. I can't, but I got to rely on you and your Holy Spirit and who you are and how you want to lead. And you know what happens? That opportunity to sin goes away. Because all I'm focused on is God. And the moment that I take my focus off of God in that moment, and even the times that I still want to say no to sin, but I take my focus off of God, I end up sinning. It takes something to learn. Because most of us in this room, if you're kind of like me, you're going, man, that's some process. I don't think about that at all. I just don't want to sin, and then, you know, it comes up, and then I end up sinning. That's the problem. We got to start retraining ourselves. Then when we face those times, even the times that are surprising to us, even the times that kind of jump out and like they take us by surprise, that in that moment, wait a second, this is not who I am. I'm a slave of God, so I need to offer myself to him right now to get through this. Every time you honestly do that, there's an amazing thing that happens. And that's at 9 o'clock. I don't sin. I don't sin that time. Maybe you've actually experienced that. Maybe even by mistake you've experienced it. You know, like, well, I kind of did that one time, and I don't know, I didn't sin. I actually was really thinking about God and what, you know, he would have of me, and I just wanted to just continue to trust him through that, and I actually trusted him through the entire thing, through the entire temptation, and I didn't sin. You stumbled on the victory cycle. That's what I call it. Write it up on the top. Victory cycle. Now, I'm just telling you, what happens at 12 o'clock again? I face sin. It's not like you're not going to face sin as much as you ever did before. You might even face it even more. In fact, you're going to go through something. You're going to face a temptation. This happens to me a lot. I face a temptation. I hand myself over to God in that moment. I'm like, okay, God, I just want you to have victory. And then I have this victory, and it's not because of me. It's because of God. And then I'm going, okay, good. And then I turn around, and the temptation's still there. Okay, it's still there. And I have to keep going through it. But I keep doing it. And the part where it says, I don't sin, I can't go, hey, God, did you see that? I resisted sin. Can I do that? You know what happens? Instead of that, when I go through the times that I don't sin, I seriously humbly bow before him and I say, thank you so much for getting me through that, because I could not have done that on my own. Who gets all the credit, you guys? God. God does. Thank you for saving me from sin so that I could rely on you, so I could actually be dependent upon you through this and continue to depend on you. That's the victory cycle. Go back to the forgiveness cycle and write down on the bottom somewhere or somewhere around it, plan B. And write down on the victory cycle somewhere, plan A. You guys know what I mean by this? Plan A is the victory cycle, not the forgiveness cycle. But the forgiveness cycle is still needed. It's still good to have, because what about the times that I don't rely on God in that moment? And I'm going to tell you guys, sometimes I forget who I am. Sometimes I don't think about that. Sometimes I just don't think at all, and I just end up sinning. Sometimes, I'm going to be honest with you, man, I'm so stupid. I want to sin. There's times I know who I am, and I know that I could just turn myself to God, but I give myself to sin in those moments. And I hate to tell you that, but you know what I'm talking about. It stinks. I forget that it's just going to lead me to death. I forget that it's a big deal. So then I have to go to that forgiveness cycle. When I do fail, I go to the forgiveness cycle. I've sinned. So what do? I confess that sin like we talked about last night. And then I'm forgiven. I'm put back into the relationship with God. But don't stay on that cycle. Then go, okay, I'm done with that. I'm getting on the victory cycle. So the next time I'm going to remember who I am, I'm going to not present myself to sin, but I'm going to offer myself to God instead in that moment so that I won't sin, and I'll give him all the glory and all the praise. And I can't believe that this could even actually happen, that I can have victory over sin before I die and go to heaven. This is incredible. But I'm going to stay on that. And then when you fail, or if you fail, then go through the confession. Honestly, humbly, to get back on the victory cycle again. Victory cycle's plan A. Forgiveness cycle is the backup for when you fall off of plan A. There's a way to get back on. What I found, you guys, and I don't know if this will happen with some of you. For some of you, you know what? This truth, and you're going to be on this victory cycle, and it's just going to be like, wow, this is incredibly changing. And it's going to change like overnight, and it's going to be true. For some of us, it might be a different process, but God is working in every single one of us. So this is what I want to encourage you. The first time that I heard about this victory cycle, the first year, I was on it 1% of the time. One time out of 100. But you know what? I was not on the forgiveness cycle 100% of the time, like I always was. 1%. The next couple of years, if I was going to compare, I was like, oh man, I'm kind of on this 10% of the time. I'm only on the forgiveness cycle 90% of the time. Because I just continued to just learn what it looked like to depend on him. Hand my life over to him, go through that, I would actually like learn to stop right before I would say something and do something and just go through something in my mind. 40%, 60%. A few years later, 60%, 40%. On the victory cycle, more than on the forgiveness cycle. And my life and people around me started not seeing me anymore. It started not seeing sin, but they started seeing a child of God more and more. What a child of God looks like, what a light in the world looks like, what a slave of righteousness looks like. And my behavior started matching up with my identity. And it was a process. What I would encourage you is this, you guys. Growth and sanctification in the Christian life is if you can look back next year and say that you were on the victory cycle more than you were on it this year. And the next year that you're on the victory cycle more than you were on it the year before. That's what I want to encourage you with. I hope that I can help you. Save those diagrams. Memorize it. Start renewing your mind with what it says in Romans 6 about how to have victory over sin. And put it into practice. See what happens the first time you actually do it. It'll amaze you. And be honest when you actually don't do it. And you let it go for that 1 second that you decide to sin instead. Just be honest. Let me pray for us, okay? Lord, thank you again for this week of camp. I pray that for some people in here, maybe just that one person that just needed to hear this, and me to hear it again was so good. God, that you would show us how to walk in victory. You would show us how to live out our new identity when we go home just a little bit more this year than we did the year before. God, we all know how to actually go through the forgiveness cycle now. We understand confession and what that really is. God, that we would be humble when those times come that we sin, but we would also be trusting you and faithful to you and learn what it looks like to be faithful to you and trust you with the time that we face sin the next time. God, it's just so good that even though sin is the second most powerful thing in the universe and we can never handle it, we have the most powerful person in the universe living in us and wanting to live through us. God, teach us to rely on you, to depend on you and offer ourselves to you in those moments so that our life will start showing who and what we really are to a broken world around us so they can see who you are too. In the name of your son, Jesus, who gave us all of this victory, amen.